You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, episode number 56. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Almer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Hey, welcome to today's podcast. I'm Jackie Almer, and today I am thrilled to be bringing you an interview with a longtime success in direct sales, more in the party plan arena. But boy, when you listen to what she has to share, the interesting thing is party plan and network marketing are very, very similar, and the skill sets that we need to learn to master any of them are important too. Deb Bixler is who I'm interviewing today. You can learn more about her over at jackiealmer.com/cashflow. jackiealmer.com/cashflow. That'll take you into her website. She's got a great offering here for you today too, to really learn and be part of her academy. And it's such a ridiculously low price. It's almost insane. You'd be crazy not to take advantage of it. But Deb really shares some great things. I want you to definitely listen to her talk about how it's not that different online than offline. I know you've all heard me say that before. That one of the things that she did from the very beginning, she was working a full-time job, 40 plus hours when she started her business. And she didn't have a lot of time, but she knew that she had to work it like a profession. She had taken several, I think, believe three companies over the course of 10 years in the, she's a trained chef. She had taken three companies over the course of 10 years to the top of their game. And so she thought, why would I not apply these same skills to my own business and do the same thing? She's going to talk about, you know, what the numbers for success, understanding your niche market, your target market, and then she's going to talk about the three things that are wrong if you don't have enough leads or bookings or parties or whatever you want to call it, the three things that you need to focus on. So we'll also cover a little bit on finding people locally, and the show notes are over at jackiealmer.com/056. I just wanted to share that I so appreciate the sponsors who sponsor this podcast on a regular basis. And this gives you, if you're interested in sponsoring one, the opportunity to get your business and what you do out in front of an audience of tens of thousands on a regular basis. So with that, let's hear from today's sponsor. ID Life is a new and exciting opportunity that just launched and is already breaking industry records for growth. ID stands for Individually Designed. This is a company that will revolutionize health and wellness as we know it. It offers patented pharmaceutical-grade health supplements 100% customized to each individual based on a free online compliant health assessment. One size does not fit all. You're going to get your organic and natural supplements designed for you in both morning and evening dosing with your name on each daily strip pack. There are other natural products that include meal replacement with chia, sleep and stress strips, energy drinks and chews, and appetite chews. These are the highest quality U.S.-made nutritional products available. ID Life also has an incredible home business opportunity with a mind-blowing compensation plan. You can make a few hundred a month or tens of thousands. It's up to you. You design your individual life. This is truly a once-in-a-lifetime ground floor opportunity. You can find out more by visiting the independent distributor website of www.yourcustomizedhealth.com. www.yourcustomizedhealth.com. And just remember, you can find out more in the show notes about this opportunity at jackiealmer.com/056. Again, thanks to our sponsors. And if you're interested in sponsoring a podcast, you can go over to JackieElmer.com/ads, ADS, and learn more. Now, let's hear from my exciting guest and interview, Deb Bixler.
Well, in today's show, I'm really excited to be interviewing a direct sales and party plan expert. As most of you know, most of my podcast consists of network marketing, social media, online tools, and that type of thing. And one of the biggest reasons for that is because that's where I've built the bulk of my success, through network marketing and social media and that type of thing. But I do love the way the two can overlap. Direct sales, you know, is the big umbrella, party plan and network marketing kind of fit under that. But there's so many things that network marketers can learn from party plan. And I have a lot of show listeners who are party plan who've been asking for more details on party plan. So I've brought in an amazing expert today, someone who I know you're going to get a lot of value out of, to share some details about direct sales, the basics of it, as well as kind of some ways that you can use social media and some of those tools to expand your reach out there with your party plan company. So please help me welcome Deb Bixler to our call. Deb, welcome. Thanks for being here with us today.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's fun. I know you and I have collaborated together on some previous things, so it's fun to be doing this show together and getting some more out there so that, you know, people in this economy and all the craziness that's going on, so they can really take hold and create their own thriving economy within our profession.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about you before direct sales.
Yes. It's a lot of time and a short story. I didn't even go to school for business or study business at all. I actually was I went to college for hotel restaurant management and culinary school. I'm a trained chef. And so I did work in the food service business for 30 years. I was pretty successful. I worked for, you know, in the food service business, people jump around a lot. And one thing I've learned about direct sales and actually food service, hospitality, any business, as a matter of fact, is that they're not all that much different, you know.
Yeah.
But I was different than most people in the hospitality industry. And then I had three 10-year jobs, took three companies to very successful levels, and had a lot of stress in the end. I just realized one day that I was just, like, stressing out, and I had been looking for a new job and was trying to find something with, say, less stress. I didn't really care that much about the money. It would have been okay if it was less money. But all the job offers I got were more stress and less money, which was like the opposite of what was successful. And so anyway, I went to a home party, and I had never been to a home party before in my whole life. This was when I was, like, in my late 40s. And the consultant at the beginning said, watch what I do here today, and for those of you who would like to learn more about making money and having fun with my fantastic company, just get with me after the show, and I'll be glad to give you more information. And, you know, this is kind of like a lesson right here to direct sellers who do home parties, is that you want to plant the seed at the beginning of the show, because, you know, I thought he was like, yeah, right, this is ridiculous. You know, I would never consider that. But then as I was sitting there, I was like realizing that everything that he was doing at the show was exactly what I enjoyed about my career. And so, because I had been trying to find a new job, and so I had a list of, like, what the criteria for the new job was, and they were all there. And anyway, to make a long story short, we were getting ready to move into the busy holiday season. You know, in the hospitality business, you do as much sales between Thanksgiving and New Year's as you do the whole rest of the year. And so we worked a lot of hours then. And so I decided that after the holiday I would start my business, and I worked the holiday season, you know, that's like 60 to 100 hours a week. And then in January I took a 50% pay cut on my job. I gave up my salary and went to an hourly position on the loading dock of the catering company so that I could have control of my hours. So I could have a 40-hour work week, 9 to 5, loaded trucks, and also work my party plan business. And my decision was to give it 9 months, because once another holiday season came along, I wouldn't be able to do that. Even an hourly employee worked hundreds of hours a week. So I made a decision that I would, you know, it's kind of like burning your bridges. You know, when you take a 50% pay cut on the job, you're burning your bridges. But technically, I could have gone back, and that was the plan, is that I would have, at the end of 9 months, I was either going to quit my full-time job, because I couldn't do both over the holidays, or I was going to quit party plan and go back to my full-time job, because you couldn't do both over the holidays. And so I ended up quitting the corporate world on November 1st of that year, started my party plan business in late January, and been working at home ever since.
Okay, so some great questions have come out of that. First of all, the person who invited you to the party, were they in any way involved in the company, or did they just know of your love of cooking and that type thing?
Well, that's another good lesson for party planners. You know, I never went to a home party in my whole entire life, and I had no intention of going to this party. First of all, they sent me a physical invitation as opposed to something electronic or just say, come on over. You know, in parties, you're going to be more likely to come if you get a real live invitation, right? That's lesson number one. But I had no intention of going, because I thought home parties were kind of silly. And the evening before the party, the lady called me. She had no affiliation with the company except for the fact that she was a hostess, you know, doing it for fun. And I had no intention of going, and she called me up and said, hey, Deb, this is Cindy. You know, I'd really like you to come to the party. I think we're going to have a good time. I think you'd really enjoy it. And I thought, wow, isn't that nice? She really wants me to come. I guess I'll go. And that's the second lesson in this, is that the reminder phone call within the last 2 to 3 days before the party increases your attendance threefold. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so true. You know, in this world of social media, which I'm a huge advocate of, as you are as well, you know, we can't get so blindsided by high tech that we forget high touch. Because
right.
The internet serves a purpose, but then the high touch has to take over, because what we do truly is a relationship business, and that's how you're going to grow your ultimate success.
Right. Well, and you know what? It's interesting, because I took that lesson really to heart and did that in my party plan business. But I also, in all areas, you know, you just said something, you know, treat your online business the same way as you treat your offline business, and you're going to get similar results. It's not all that different. You need to stay connected to relationships. But I belong to a local club that we have periodic potlucks, you know, at different people's houses, and it's a fun gathering, and there's a new one every month, and I do one twice a year. And after the last one, someone said to me, how come you always have bigger attendance than everybody else? And I was like, well, I call everybody ahead and personally invite them. And then I don't send out physical invitations, but I call them within 2 to 3 days before the show and remind them. Do you? You know, it works.
Right. It does work. So then at the party, as you sat there, you know, developing an interest and thinking, hey, I think I could do this, did you talk to the guy afterwards, the consultant? Did you talk to him afterwards and let him know you were interested?
I think he had a prize drawing slip or something, and I checked maybe on that. I was pretty skeptical. But we did end up getting together at a restaurant and talking about it, and I was still pretty skeptical, and I pretty much put it on the shelf until after the holidays. And, you know, in the process of mulling it over and thinking about it, and I decided that it must have been put in front of me for a reason, so I ought to give it a try.
So then you didn't stop thinking about it. You thought about it quite a bit, even though you hadn't actually acted on it.
Right.
That's great. That's a really powerful – I think that's a powerful lesson, too, is, you know, to keep in touch with prospects also, because you don't know what they're thinking. And most of us, you know, play our cards close to the vest. We don't want to always, you know, act overly enthusiastic that we're all excited and everything. We often play it pretty low key as we're evaluating and trying to figure things out.
Right. Follow up is key, both online and off. You know, even you know, you get a nice comment or what have you on the on your wall on Facebook and or anywhere, and going back and making a personal comment or sending a direct message. You know, one thing that I do all the time is, I mean, I get a subscription to all my accounts. When someone makes a comment or shares, like on Pinterest, shares one of my photos or whatever, I go right there and thank them for it. You know, it's all part of the follow-up, and it's almost the same online and off.
Yes, very true. So then you signed up in January of that year, and how did you go about getting your business launched? Like, what did that first 6 months? Well, actually, what did the first 30 days look like, and then how did that progress over the next 6 months?
Well, what did that look like? I made a decision that I had to date a new party every day. And so, I mean, I was still working 40 hours a week at my regular job, and I was actually physically working a lot harder. But my attitude was way different. You know, when you go from general manager of a silver service catering company and French restaurant to the loading dock supervisor, your attitude changes big time. But I made a decision to date a party every day. And so one of my big things about joining a party plan company was I didn't feel like it was a very professional career choice. And so I decided to just treat it like a profession. I mean, that was part of my thought process. Well, I worked for three companies, 10 years each, and they all went from nothing to success. So why can't I do it for myself? So I just decided to do what I do for other companies, to do it for myself. And I did work 40 hours a week, probably, maybe more. For my party plan company, I actively worked my business just like I would actively work a job that I was getting paid for. And, you know, if 1 in 10 will say yes. So if you want to date a party every day, you got to talk to 10 people every day. I mean, that might not be work for some people, but if you want to talk to one person every day, you'll date a party every 10 days. So, you know, I just made a decision that I was going to date a party every day. I had a system where if they dated a party, I sent them a confirmation, physical confirmation postcard, thanks for dating a party, blah, blah, blah. And it was like fluorescent blue, like this postcard. It was just clip art stuff. But if I saw one of them going out in the mail, it was a very good key for me, like a brain excitement, you know,
mm-hmm.
see that going out. So what did it look like the first year? I don't know. I just used every resource available to me to start sharing my new business, and of course started doing parties. I had an open house in my home two days, like a practice show on a Friday and a Sunday, and I invited everybody I've known since kindergarten to come over and help me practice, and that kind of kicked it off. And, you know, just started doing what I do for my other job. I used to go to vendor events. I used to be a public speaker for my job. You know, I was on TV for my job. You know, whatever I did for my company, which was a really high-profile company, I started doing for myself. And there you have it. And November 1st, I quit my job.
So it basically took you 10 months, 11 months, something like that, a little under.
Yeah, I think August was the first month that my commission exceeded my job paycheck.
And how did your team building look? Because I always like to address that when talking to party plan people. Because, you know, in network marketing, we focus a lot on team building and a little on customers. And in party plan, it typically, at least in the beginning, for many, it's more about customers and making those upfront sales and that type thing. And team building can often take kind of a back seat. So talk to us about how you went about the team building aspect of it.
Well, first of all, you're right. Party plan is more about customer relations and selling products and being a salesperson. And you know what? It always is. Like the difference in that in party plan, say, and your classic. I mean, party plan is on some levels is MLM, multi-level marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiered marketing, but the difference in party plan and some of the other party plan is more of a compensation plan. You know, whereas, like, say, the classic, what people visualize as the classic MLM, is just a different compensation plan where they're paying on deeper levels, so recruiting plays a bigger role, whereas party plan usually has limits like two or three levels down, and you get more on your own personal sales. And so it stays that way. Even as you become a leader, leaders are still expected to sell and produce and continue to do parties, and that's the way the model's designed. What was the question? I forget.
Just how you that was a great explanation, and I appreciate that. And before I repeat what the question was, I do want to say I think that network marketers could take some good lessons from Party Plan into the importance of customers and how that can really sustain your business as you're working to grow your team. So I hope people are listening to that. But the question was, how did you personally focus on the team building aspect of it? Because in order to leave your job and have more control and that type thing, you would need, you know, a team would become an important part of that.
Well, a team is an important part of it. And running any business, you want to have balance. And like you just said, for, you know, your classic company, that MLM, you know, they often don't focus on personal sales. And, you know, anybody that has a successful business has balance. And so just like Party Plan should have personal sales, should have a downline, do catalog sales, you know, just doing every kind of opportunity you have to create income, and MLM could benefit greatly from having parties as well. You know, think about it. You know, I go over, Lowe's has over here the home builders store or whatever. They have their own version of the party. You know, they invite people to come in and learn how to create a patio, and people come in and sip some tea and have some cookies and learn how to create a patio and develop a relationship with the presenter. And then at the end of the, quote, party, they either buy the bricks to build their own patio, they either decide it's too expensive and they hire Lowe's to do it, or they walk out and say, well, I'm going to come to another class, this was fun. You know, it's the same exact concept of Party Plan as relationship building. And because people who come to parties either schedule a party, buy a product, or come back again, they have fun. And so, you know, MLM could benefit hugely from that. But back to recruiting, I wasn't really very good at it in the beginning, and I think it was because I was too eager. I wanted to grow a team in the worst way. And in the first year, I did bring people in, and actually one of the very first people I brought in is still active in the same company, and I call her the oldest direct seller in the world, but she probably really isn't. But she joined, Nancy joined to supplement her retirement income after her husband passed away, and she's like 87 years old, and she's still active. But that's fun.
I love that.
Yeah. But, you know, I think I was just overly eager and, you know, wanted it for me. And, you know, recruiting has to be wanted for them. It's more about creating desire in the marketplace and sharing something that can benefit others, not trying to create a situation where you're benefiting only.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't that good of a recruiter. I mean, basically, I was top 20, top 10, whatever, people in personal sales every single year for 7 years in a row. And then once I started recruiting my second and third, you know, after, you know, getting off to a good start, then it just multiplied. I got better at recruiting in my second, after I did it for a while. But the whole time, even right from day one, it was all about personal sales.
Isn't it funny? I mean, I love that you say you got better. Gee, wow, what a concept. That's typically what happens as we continue to do something. You know, we start out bad and we get a little better and we grow and we get a little better and a little better, and pretty soon we have a full-fledged business and we can quit our job. So,
well, you know, when I stopped trying to recruit, because recruit is doing something to somebody else. You know, even think about it. When the Army used to recruit, they were telling you had to join. But recruiting is doing something to somebody, whereas, you know, when I just started making friends – and started learning how to just create desire so that people wanted what I had, then it just happened by itself. And that's really relationship building.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's the key to everything. What were some of the challenges then? Looking back and you had to define what some of the challenges that you faced, what would those be?
Well, I one of the biggest challenges I had was recruiting. I mean, that was a very big frustration for me. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know. I really, you know, the big challenge that most people talk about is finding business, and it's there. There is unlimited business out there for direct sellers, and you just have to be willing to go out and get it. I'm a pretty motivated person. I really, other than this recruiting challenge that I had from day one, you know, I don't know. I can't think of any challenges, to be honest with you.
Well, that's awesome, and I love hearing that. Let me just put one out there that a lot of people say, you know, dealing with rejection. Talk to us about how you feel about that term in our business and how you dealt with it.
Well, rejection is a part of life. I mean, actually, I think I just commented on something like this on Facebook recently today, this morning. But we all learn to accept rejection in life. But so why do we get so hung up on it in business? You know, you have to understand your niche client, and everybody is not an ideal customer. And when you understand that and also have a really good understanding of who your ideal customer is, then rejection doesn't become an issue. You know, Andrea Waltz, and Richard Fenton, their book is called Go for No. You know, Go for No, it's like, no is your path to yes. If you're never hearing no, then you're never going to hear yes. And people who hear yes the most often also hear no the most often. And so it's more like no is your path to take you to yes. And it's in life we hear it all the time. When in a restaurant, when someone says, would you like dessert? That's their job. That's their job to say, would you like dessert? And when you say, no, thank you, I'm full, they don't say, oh, darn, in their head, oh, darn, she hates me. You know, she just moves on. And so in direct sales, it's our job to offer them the opportunity. It's our job to offer them something. And when people say no, it's not a personal thing. It's just, no, thank you, I don't need that right now. So part of it, I think, too, is that, especially in party plan, maybe it's the same in other direct sales businesses, I'm sure it is. You know, direct sellers don't want to be pushy. And the reason they're scared to death of being pushy, which is exactly why they fear rejection, is that they are pushy. And
yeah.
So, you know, it's not about pushing your opportunity on people. Of course you're going to get rejected. It's about sharing enough information in a conversational manner that creates desire, whether the conversation is at Thanksgiving dinner or whether it's at a home party or on Facebook or, you know, in Pinterest. It's, you know, just putting out information, not hitting people over the head with your business opportunity, but putting out information. An example would be you're at the grocery store and someone says, well, where you been since you left the corporate world, Deb, or whatever. And it's like, well, cool, joined XYZ, and I'm really excited. You know what? Since I started working from home, I don't even have an alarm clock in my bedroom. I get to sleep as late as I want every single day. What are you doing these days? And so all I did right then was plant a seed of one of the benefits of being an entrepreneur. And so I'm not saying you should join or you should do this. I'm just saying that I have this benefit. And maybe they, you know, if you sprinkle that kind of information out, oh, where'd you go on vacation? Oh, last year, my fantastic company sent me to Cancun. We had an all-expense-paid vacation, absolutely free, and Jason and I renewed our vows on the beaches. What'd you do for vacation? That kind of sprinkling out information that creates desire attracts people to you who want what you have, and it's not being pushy. But people who are, like, desperately fearing rejection are being pushy usually.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm big on coaching on is what I call success language. And I actually wrote an ebook. If our listeners want to go to streetsmartscripts.com, I have an ebook on success language. Because once you know what to say and how to paint that vision and ask good questions and engage people, it makes a huge difference in their interest. Because, of course, just like you said, when you turn that back around to them, what is everyone's favorite thing to talk about? Themselves, you know,
right.
So that's really, really powerful. Well, let's talk about bookings then, because, you know, kind of like you already said, one of the biggest challenges people say is, you know, finding business. And the one thing that I know I hear from those people who approach me who are party plan, they say, you know, how to get more bookings, how to get more bookings. And that's something that you're a pro at. So what are your top tips for those who are struggling on getting bookings?
Well, it's interesting because people, I could say, okay, we're going to talk about bookings on the radio, the cashflowshowradio.com. I'm going to talk about bookings on the radio, and I could do it every day for 6 weeks. And then the next day I'll send out an email to the newsletter list, what do you want me to talk about on the radio? And I get 20 emails back to say bookings. So, you know, it's a bigger picture here. You know, if you don't have enough bookings, there's only three things that could be wrong, okay? Bookings means that your calendar's not full. So whether you're doing party plan or you're doing private sales appointments or whatever, if you don't have enough business, there's only three things that could be wrong. If you don't have enough recruits, there's only three things that can be wrong. One, you don't know where to find leads. And see, most people, when they say, I need more bookings, or most educators, when they hear, I need more bookings, they think they need to know where to find leads. But that is really only the tip of the iceberg, because there are unlimited leads out there. And like I said, I could give you 6 weeks worth of lead generation tips. As a matter of fact, I have over 74 ways to find bookings. But that's lead generation, and they can be used in party plan. They can be used in MLM. They could be used for car salesmen or restaurants or anybody. But so one is you don't know where to find them. Two is you don't have the skills to make it happen, but you do know where to find them. Okay, so if you don't have the skills, it takes practice. You can always make up in numbers what you lack in skill. And the numbers give you the skills. So one, you don't know where to find bookings. I can solve that problem, piece of cake, 74 ways to find bookings. Two, you don't have the skills. I can teach you the skills to find bookings. But once I teach them to you, you need to practice them to make them work. I can show them to you. You know, teaching is one thing, but learning is a whole different ballgame. You know, learning is two things. It's absorbing material, but it's also action, practice. So number three reason that people don't have enough bookings, and this I think is really the real problem, and this is fact that I acquired from a survey. I conducted a survey a couple years back from my list of subscribers, and out of 1,500 subscribers, we had 500 people respond, which I'm told that's really, really good, and I believe it from what I've seen.
Yeah, that's very good. That's incredible.
So out of 500 people who filled out the form about this very topic, there was basically four questions. You know, what's your problem? You can't find bookings. What is your problem? You don't know where to look. You don't have the skills to close them. You can't step out. You won't step out of your comfort zone. Lack motivation. Over 60% of the people that filled out their survey said they won't step out of their comfort zone or they lack motivation. They're not willing to go out and get them. So the third thing that prevents people from getting bookings is willingness, because comfort zone and motivation are both willingness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot harder to teach. I mean, you can't really
teach
it.
I'm surprised that 60% were even willing to fill out the survey. You know what I mean? But that's interesting. That's really, really fascinating.
It was. It was kind of an eye-opener for me, actually. And what I did was create the Elite Club on the Cash Flow Show includes the Bookings University. And so what I did was put three videos. The Bookings University is 16 30-minute webinars. But the first three focus on willingness, how to expand your comfort zone, that kind of thing. And I think you made a special URL, right, to take people there?
I did, yeah. So Do you want to tell or do you want me to?
Sure. JackieAlmer.com/cashflowclub. And
yeah, tell us what's in there, Deb.
Okay. The Elite Club, the Cash Flow Show Radio, broadcast 7 days a week. And so the Elite Club members, but it's new and live on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. So the Elite Club gets all the radio show downloads to the, you know, they download them to their computer and then they can share them with their team. Plus it gets private training events that I conduct for corporations put into the club. So the Elite Club gets 60 downloads a year, four a month at least, plus the Bookings University, which is the 16 mini webinar video series. Each webinar is 30 minutes long, some are longer, but basically they're bite-sized videos with actually you can download them, you can download the audios, you got homework, action steps, and when you take one video a week for 16 weeks, I guarantee you, you'll have a full calendar. And basically it's all about how to find business, just one step at a time, all the details of all the ways, that you, all 74 ways to find business. And is it okay? I made a code so that your members could, or listeners could get that at half price. Is that all right?
Oh, of course, yes.
So the code is Jackie50, and that would be 50% off the Elite Club or any digital product on the site, Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, 50. And when you go to JackieAlmer.com/cashflowclub, and once you put the club in your shopping cart, apply that code, you'll get it at 50% off. Thank you.
And just, you know, I know some of you, a lot of people listen to the podcast while you're driving and walking and working out. So you'll find the show notes over at JackieAlmer.com/056. So you can head over there and all the links and everything will be in there. But Deb, thank you. That's so generous. And I know that, again, whether you're party plan or network marketing, you can benefit from these techniques. You can benefit from understanding how to find people, how to get that motivation, all those type things. So it's invaluable for anybody, regardless of what your business is, I believe anyway. So with today, with great tools like social media, like I know you're out there. I see you on Twitter. I see you on Facebook. You know, you're on Pinterest. You're all around there. Tell us a little bit about how you see the face of direct sales, party plan, network marketing, whatever label we want to put on it. How has it changed and or improved our ability to reach out to others with social media?
Well, I think that it's got its good and it's got its bad.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of direct sellers who are just so dependent on especially, you know, party plan is meant to be a party. And, you know, just relying totally on digital makes it tough. And just like any business, you should take advantage of all resources available to you to market your business, to create income, et cetera. And you can't just run a business, a party plan business, online only. And yet when you do run a party plan business or any direct sales business, whether it's affiliate marketing or any of those, it's also all about relationships and understanding who your ideal customer is. And so when you have a Facebook page or what have you, you've got to go out and engage with other people who may have an interest in your Facebook page as well. And so when you're trying to create income online, is if you set up a website, how do you get them there? You know, you're not just going to set up a website and everybody shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as much work to make money online as it is to make money offline. It's just different.
So glad
but
you
when
said
you,
that. So
you need to connect the web. That's why it's called the World Wide Web, right? If you don't connect it, it's not going to work. So setting up a website is useless unless you connect it. And the more connections you have, the better it's going to work, just like offline. The bigger your circle of influence offline, the more successful your business is. And that's the same thing online as well.
So how would you coach someone on using these sites? Because I know, you know, for whatever reason, there tends to be a disconnect that when people think of using online tools and Facebook and different things like that, they tend to see it more of an advertising platform versus a social platform, and just like you said, a connection platform, and, you know, where you go about building relationships. So what would be your advice for thinking beyond that advertising platform? Because, you know, people don't go on Facebook to get sold to. We know that they can very often be receptive to being sold to, but you have to do it in a unique way. So how would you coach people on that?
Well, first of all, online is more than just Facebook.
Sure.
Believe it or not.
I always use that as an example because so many people, you know, it's like the easiest for most people and they're there.
Right,
but you're
right.
It's a lot more than just Facebook.
Well, and part of it is to get more involved in all of it. You know, there's Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest and LinkedIn, and you can't do it all. So getting good at one, if you're already in Facebook and you've got a good routine going, add another and create a routine. One of the best ways to stay connected to your followers is to subscribe to your email updates. You know, when if you're in business, and email is not dead, and if you're in business, email is a great tool to keep you connected to all your social sites. But, you know, every morning I have an email. So these are the people that pinned from your website. These are the people who commented or repinned from your Pinterest boards. And then I click through on a half a dozen of them because there's too many to go to all of them, and I make a comment, subscribe to their board and make a comment. Same thing with LinkedIn. So-and-so subscribed to your, or so-and-so commented on your article on LinkedIn or whatever, and go there and make a comment. Google+. These notifications may clutter up your inbox, but if you deal with them every single day and deal with them quickly, it connects you. It keeps you personally connected to your followers on some level, and that, I think, is really important.
Great. Cool.
I think I missed the question again.
Well, no, just, you know, how would you go about advising someone to kind of begin to ease into using social media for, you know, expanding their reach for their business?
Well, and you know what? I would say get one if, you know, most people are in Facebook. Get one and get good at it and get another. You know, one thing that Facebook is really good for Party Plan is to create groups for your hostesses, whether it's one group for every hostess or use your page as a place for your hostesses to connect. You know, the idea of having online parties in conjunction with the live party for people who can't come so the hostess has a place to refer them to. I think for Party Plan, it's a more of an integration thing, connecting on and offline at the same time as you're using the online. You cannot run a business, a Party Plan business specifically, only online. And so using it as team training tools, using it as connecting with your hosts, but also finding people, and you can even find people in your own area by using the different links. Like if you're connected to everybody, and I live in York, Pennsylvania, so I can go see, there's a way to go see who else is living in York, Pennsylvania, and of my friends. And so you can connect with people that either have an interest, like if your product line is fashion, you go join groups and pages and socialize with people who like fashion so that you create desire and share information that's going to keep them connected to you as opposed to only marketing. Like, it's not just about 3 posts a day on your fan page, which I would say would be the what you should have is 3 posts a day on your fan page. But it also should be about you going out and talking to other people on the social sites to create desire, just like you would offline, to come see who your fan page is.
And as a quick side note to that, I do have some training on how to build local with social media. If you go to http://buildinglocalwithsocialmedia.com, you'll find the information on how to use Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, how to use these tools to research and find people. Meetup is another one. I have a lot of information there on Meetup, how to use these social sites on a local basis to dive into and find your target audience. Because, Deb, I think what you share is so important that we do need to be combining a little bit of both. So, again, buildinglocalwithsocialmedia.com will take you right in and give you some details on what that product entails and how to use Meetup, Facebook, LinkedIn, how to use the groups and find the people who might be right for your product or your opportunity.
So if you were just getting started today, how would you launch your business? Would you do anything differently than you did before? Taking what you know now and starting over, what would that look like?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that the internet was not as solid when I first started. I think the most important thing to do, and I did not do this, I guess, is to understand your company's online policy. As a matter of fact, understand your company's online and offline policy as soon as you join, if not before you join. Because there's a wide variety of policy out there, and you want to make sure it matches your goals and your expected mode of operation. I think that's the one thing I would do different than what I did when I first started. Other than that, it's all about marketing. And marketing your business online or off, everything good takes effort and risk. And unless you're willing to invest both, it's not going to work. You know, just like offline, you know, we always hear the 80-20 rule, right? But you know what? The 80-20 rule applies to the restaurant business, too. It applies to all businesses. You know, in the restaurant business, if I wanted to hire 10 people, I would put an ad in 10 newspapers and interview all day long, set up interviews at 15-minute intervals. Only half the people that had an appointment would show up, and I'd hire them all. And on their first day of work, you know, only half of them would show up. And then after 2 weeks, I only had 10. You know what I'm saying? It's the same in almost all areas of life is the 80-20 rule. And, you know, I sometimes help direct sellers set up a WordPress website, just a simple, because people, you know, WordPress is a piece of cake, and you should use that as your blogging platform. But if you've never set one up, it's not a piece of cake. So, you know, I have a, you know, a little bit of a affordable blog setup package where I'll just get you started and give a video so that you can learn how to do it yourself. Then from there, it's really easy because the learning curve is already, you know, you're already set up. But what I find is that 80% of the people that set up a blog never blog.
Right.
You know, 80% of the websites, and I don't know the numbers, there's so many websites set up every day, but 80% of the websites never make money. And I know how long it took me to start generating income off my website, my cash flow show website. So I know what it takes, and everything good takes effort, whether it's online or off. And if you're expecting a quick fix in your party plan business or your affiliate business or your vitamin business, you know, direct sales, MLM, whatever it is, unless you put the time and effort into it, it is not happening.
Deb, I'm shocked. Are you saying this is not get rich quick?
It is not.
Very good point. You know, if it were, it's like that saying, you know, if it were easy, if it were easy, we all be, you know, thin, rich, and happy, or whatever it is, you know, something along those lines.
Everybody would do it. It's simple.
Right.
But a lot of people don't take the effort.
Yes, it's simple, but not always easy. But it can be simple to set up your own WordPress blog, and you can get the free guide with two different options, whether you are pretty techie and you want to do it yourself, or whether you kind of want a lot of tutorials and basically a system that's somewhat set up for you. If you go to jackiealmer.com/WP blog, as in WordPress blog, jackiealmer.com/WP blog, you can download the free guide for getting that set up. And again, that'll be in the show notes, jackiealmer.com/056. Now, on to easy.
But yeah, it's simple, and the easy factor is kind of what you shared earlier with the willingness and the motivation. It's the mindset. The only place where this business is hard is between our ears. You know, it's what we think about it. It's the fears that we make up, or the things that people are going to say or think about us, or what if this happens. It's all the what ifs that we, you know, generate in our mind that make this difficult. I think the business itself is a piece of cake.
Right.
So you have launched, you know, a very successful career even beyond Party Plan. I mean, you took the skills that you learned and you developed, and you really turned those into some true entrepreneurial endeavors. How did that kind of play out over the course of time? What led you in that direction? Because that's one of the things I love. I'm a big studier of Richard Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and one of the things that he teaches about network marketing as a business model, which he's a big fan of, which, you know, falls under Party Plan 2, is it's one of the best learning foundations that you can have for really learning good business principles, but then to take that income producing asset and the skills that you learned there to segue those into other things, and you've definitely done that. So tell us a little bit about your journey, you know, kind of moving beyond building within a specific company to having your own coaching program and being a true entrepreneur.
Well, let's see here. Direct sales can be your dream come true, and it is for many. Or it can be a path to take you there. I mean, I did not join direct sales to be a Party Plan consultant for the rest of my life. I joined the Party Plan business to use it as a vehicle or a path to take me to what I wanted to do, and that was make a living speaking from home, or, you know, being an educator, being a outsourced educator. I think I shared at the beginning that I'm a trained chef, and so, you know, all my life I was teaching people how to cook, but I was doing it for somebody else. And now, you know, it gave me the ability to launch my own business of education. Locally, I teach more people healthy living education than I do sales education. The sales education piece came when I found out that I was so successful, people found out that I was so successful in Party Plan. Like, I started out doing, as I said, being in the top 20 producers, people, not percent, people, producers in my company, and local teams outside of my company started asking me to come speak at their team meetings. And that sort of branched off into a sideline and actually became that part of my speaking career is more online than off, and yet it is still offline as well. I do live events, but more, and also more coaching, private coaching events for corporations and or for individual leaders and their teams. But that was not expected. And, you know, the thing about being online and being an entrepreneur is that you do what you do best and more will be revealed. And it just became became the more primary asset in my speaking commitments and my educational abilities.
That's awesome, and congratulations on your success. I love that. I love any time somebody can take a burning desire and a passion and they're willing to put in the effort and the risk, as you mentioned, to take themselves down a path that ultimately leads them to what their end-all goal is, and I'm sure that you haven't even reached that yet. It's still growing and expanding, and it'll be interesting to see what other things you pick up along your path and your journey. So congratulations.
Well, thanks for that. If you were to come to York, Pennsylvania, and somebody mentioned my name, they would say, oh, the healthy chef.
Isn't that awesome? You've built a brand and a presence online and offline, and how fun is that? Well, we can certainly wrap up here. I think we've covered a lot of great information, and I so appreciate you taking the time to share with the listeners here. Tell us again how to get to your website and to access that 50% promo, which is so generous, and thank you for offering that to us. And again, the show notes are over at jackiealmer.com/056. You'll find those. Deb, tell us again how to get there and what you're offering.
Sure, yes. JackieAlmer.com/cashflowclub will take you straight into the Elite Club, which is the Bookings University. It's a 16 mini webinar series, and it's really extensive. Each webinar focuses on different aspects of lead generation, how to become more willing, how to step out of your comfort zone, as well as the skills and the lead generation techniques. In other words, the Bookings University addresses all three issues that may be preventing you from filling your calendar: how to find business, how to develop the skills, and also become more willing at the same time. The consultants who, and it doesn't have to be party plan. When I teach, I do use the words home party and bookings, and I use party plan type terminology. But the program itself will work in any sales business. I don't care what you're selling and what your basic business model is. It's a lead generation system. When you finish that program, take it very seriously, do all the action steps and the follow-up involved, I guarantee you, you'll never worry about bookings again or never worry about where to find business again. So that's JackieAlmer.com/cashflowclub. And just once you get to the shopping cart, put Jackie50 into the shopping cart and it'll be half price.
Awesome. Well, Deb, thanks again. Any final comments or thoughts?
Well, no. I think that anything good involves effort and everybody deserves the success necessary. So just take action because, you know, you can always make up in numbers what you lack in skill. And the numbers will take you to the skills you need to succeed. Once you create this momentum, then it's hard to stop a moving train. So it's a little bit harder in the beginning to get your business moving, just like a train starts out slow. But when you get the momentum going, you can slack off, you can have a bad week, you can be sick. But if you're using all marketing sources, all resources available to you to generate income and find business, then it'll keep on moving. You can't stop a moving train.
Very good. Great advice. Definitely.
Well, I hope you got a lot from that. You know, I hope that you really paid attention to the three things that are wrong if you don't have enough leads for your business or bookings or people to get in front of or that type thing. But remember, you can access the show notes over at JackieAlmer.com/056. I'll have the link over there to the 50% off code if you want to get involved in Deb's Training University. And again, if you have a question or a topic you'd like covered on the podcast, I would love to do that for you. Just head over to JackieAlmer.com/question, JackieAlmer.com/question, and ask your question there. You'll see the little, all the way over to the right, you'll see a little application that sideways says, send me a voice message. Open that up, and you can usually speak right into your built-in microphone there on your computer. You don't have to talk super loud. You don't have to get super close, and it usually allows you to play it before you send it. So I would love your feedback. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others in network marketing, online business building, direct sales, party plan, people on your team, whatever. Share it and get the word out. I would appreciate that. And then head on over to iTunes and give me a rating and a review. You can just go to iTunes.com, find podcasts. You can type in Jackie Almer, Street Smart Wealth, Profit in Your PJs, and over on the show notes, there's a link that'll take you right into it as well. With that, I'm signing off. We've been almost an hour today, so hopefully you've gotten a lot out of that, and I will see you on next week's show. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at ProfitInYourPJsNow.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, JackieAlmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, Facebook.com/StreetSmartWealth, and on Twitter, @JackieAlmer. See you on the next show and have a fun, profitable week.